morning. I have a passage of scripture I'd like for us to look at over in Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians chapter 4 is what I'd like for us to read. And I'd like for us to be able to look at one phrase in particular. That's what my burden is this morning. So I'm going to write that phrase up on the board so we can be able to keep focused on that, I hope. The phrase I want us to consider this morning is be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. In Philippians, the fourth chapter, would like to begin reading in verse 1. He said, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So, this is the last chapter of the book of Philippians. He is writing not to someone that has resisted the gospel message. Instead, he's writing to someone that has accepted the gospel message. He's writing to someone that he has a lot of care, compassion, and affection for. He is writing to fellow Christians and brother and sisters in the Lord. And so he addresses them. He says, "My brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown. This is where I find pleasure in knowing that you are established, that you're going forward in your relationship with God, and life is something that you're living in a way that would be acceptable in God's sight." He said, "It's not only my joy, but it's my crown. This is what I am working for in life," the Apostle Paul says, "that you would be able to be fully equipped, that you would be able to resist the devil, that you would be able to be victorious in your everyday life." So he says, he addresses them, calls them brethren, calls him dearly beloved. He says, "My joy and my crown, my reward, if you will. This is the thing that is the ultimate achievement, is to see that you're well established. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." So anyone that has the same type of objective for others, I believe, has some of the same feelings. So I just want to say this morning that my greatest desire for each one of us here today is that you would be fully established, unquestionably following the Lord. That you're not wavering and wondering, am I in? Am I out? Is this the popular thing to do? Is this the thing that makes me feel good this week? Is this the thing that I want? Is this a hobby? No, it's more than that. It should be something that this is life, being able to live in the way that's pleasing to the Lord. And to stand here in front of you and as our congregation here, I want you to know that to see you developing and becoming more stable in your walk with the Lord, that's one of the greatest crowns, if you will, that I could ever have. And I want you to be strengthened. And that's my objective. That's what I want you to do, is be strong and capable in your walk with the Lord. He says, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." So there's a lot of things that we can be happy about in life, even when everything doesn't go our way. We can be happy knowing that our joy is in the Lord, even when things around us aren't just the most desirable. All right? And he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. So live in a way that other people are able to discern why you live the way you do. It's not, I'm living this way because I'm under a threat, or I'm under some kind of iron rule or anything like that. But he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. It's the Lord that we're endeavoring to please. It's not a man. It's not a group of men. But it's God Almighty. Then he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So, I'll stop right there for right now. He says here that in verse 6, he gives some instruction. And he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And if we're able, there's something that will happen if we're able to accomplish what he instructs us to do in the 6th verse. And what will happen is in the 7th verse, he says, and the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, if we are really being able to put in practice what's in the 6th verse, the result is going to be that others are going to look on and they're not going to really comprehend how we're able to have the outlook that we do in the face of what we're facing. All right? So we face things that are undesirable, right? All of us do. We face rejection. We face disappointment. We face bereavement. We face things that fall apart. We face things that are very disappointing to us. We face things that causes us to question whether we're really doing the right thing or not for our own self. And we have a lot of suggestions from the enemy that comes along and tells us that we ought to assert ourselves, that we ought to express ourselves, that we ought to communicate some resistance of some sort, that we ought to take charge of something, and all of those things, we face them, all of us do. And when we are able to face those things with the 6th verse that we have here in the text that we've written in place in our life, when it is functional, you know, it's one thing to have a tool and not be able to use it, not even know how to turn it on. It's another thing to have it and be fluent with the use of it. All right? So, some time ago, a fellow that's a neighbor and a friend of mine said, hey, Dan, said, there's a fella over here in Orinoco, I think it was, or Carl Junction, somewhere over a little bit west of us, said he is really bad with cancer, and he has a whole shop full of tools, and he wants to disperse of them before he goes. Some of his family's trying to disperse of them. He doesn't have long to be here, and they just want to start liquidating these things while he's still able to know kind of what things are value. And he said, since it was a lot of tools, he said, I thought of you. So He said, would you be interested in going to look? And I said, sure. You know exactly how to touch a soft spot in my mind. I want to go look. So I went over there, and this fella did. He was one of my kind of people. He just had all kinds of stuff over there. And I said, well, I'd just like to load almost everything up and take it with me. But I said, I just don't have the kind of money that it's worth. I just can't buy all of that, you know. Well, what are you interested in? So I told him some things I was interested in. You know, he had one of these worm drive skill saws. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you men know what I'm talking about. I thought, you know, I've never had one of those. All I've ever had is the direct drive skill saw that's pretty, I don't know, it's the cheaper models, okay? That's what I've always had. And I've wore a couple of them out, and maybe I had a real cheap one and it failed. But anyway, he had one there, and it didn't look like it had been used a whole lot. And I thought, you know, I'd really like to have that. And it ended up the fella did pass away, and I did buy some of the stuff. And I went to buy what I had agreed to buy, and they loaded in some extra stuff that they just needed to get rid of it. And one of the things I ended up with was that skill saw. And every time I see it, I think, boy, I'm going to use that on something. But at this point, I've never used it. It's one of those things that I like having it, and I know it's a good one. But I've not used it. You know, if we're not careful, we'll take the things that God tries to teach us and tries to equip us with, and we'll just kind of put it on the shelf somewheres, and we'll say, you know that would really be a good thing and it would really be helpful to me, but well, right now I'm in a hurry. I'm just not going to get it out. You know, probably if I'm going to use this, I ought to put a new blade in it, and I haven't done that either. And I probably ought to plug it in and just make sure that it don't make any strange noises and that it runs smoothly and the switch doesn't stick on. And I ought to do all that, but I haven't. But I sure like owning it. And we can be the same way with the Scripture. We can have a Bible sitting up on the shelf somewheres collecting dirt. We can have one that we open up and we read. And we think, my, that sounds good. It sure be nice if a lot of people would put that in practice in their life, but we won't do it we won't put it in practice ourselves. So what good does it do for me to have my worm drive skill saw if I'm not going to use it? I'm not ready to get rid of it, so I will. I will use it. I'm going to find something to use it for. But I want us to get a hold of Philippians, the fourth chapter and the sixth verse today. Because I believe there's something here that'll really help me. And since I feel like I'm pretty ordinary and I'm pretty much the same as everyone else, I think it's going to help you too. So let's look at it a little closer. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So the phrase, be careful for nothing, is translated from a couple Greek words that basically mean nothing. And it also, the be careful comes from a phrase or a word that means not anxious. Not anxious. So I read some of what some commentators said about it. And one commentator says, be not anxiously solicitous. Do not give place to carking care. Let what will occur, for anxiety cannot chance the state or condition of anything from bad to good, but will infallibly injure your own souls. Did you know that in the course of my life, there have been new melodies that have been identified. You know what I'm talking about? People get sick with stuff today that there wasn't such a thing when I was a young man. I remember when AIDS came around. And it sounded like the thing that was going to end human life. It was just going to start spreading rampant. I remember that fear. That I don't know how long it's been around, but I don't know when it got popular. You know, there's something else that may have been around, but it didn't get much traction and much You know, it's pretty popular today to have anxiety attacks. It's a pretty common sickness today, is have anxiety attacks and panic attacks. Pretty common. We just accept it that there are a good percentage of people in our world today that struggle with panic attacks. You know, when I was growing up, if somebody got kind of panicky, somebody else said, "Calm down." That's what happened. But now it's a sickness and people take drugs for it. All right? And this verse here is giving us some instruction, and he's dealing with anxiousness, if that's a word. He's dealing with anxiety. He's dealing with the things that cause people to be panicked. Sometimes we call people drama kings or drama queens because they're always in a panic about it. Just calm down, you know. It's probably not as bad as you think it is, or it's probably not going to be as bad as you think. And if it is, surely we'll find a way out. Other people have lived. I mean, this is not the first generation that's had distressing things happen to them. So he says, this commentator says, be careful for nothing. Don't give place to carking cares. C-A-R-K-I-N-G. Y'all know what that word means? I didn't either. So I looked it up. Carking means distressing, perplexing, giving anxiety. Don't give place. Don't allow a place for carking care, for distressing, perplexing, anxious care or worry. You know, we had a name when I was young for people that probably could have been classified as having a panic attack. We called them worry warts. You ever heard that expression? A worry wart. It's somebody that could make a mountain out of a molehill and have people dead, buried, and in the grave, and it's just because they run out of gas. It's just a small thing, and sure enough, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do to pay the funeral home. And they just run out of gas. So don't allow, this is something that's here. He says, be careful for nothing. Don't allow these anxious thoughts that wants to creep in. You know, if the devil sees that you're a little nervous and a little apprehensive, what does he do? He just pours some more salt in your wound. He just pops in. They ought to be here by now. Sure, it's a wreck. I know it's a wreck. That's what the devil says. I know they forgot all about you and they don't really care, and it's probably not that at all. But the devil wants to just feed and fan the flames of anxiety. You know, I believe that panic attacks and anxiety attacks and all those things, I believe it's a end result of people yielding themselves to the devil's thinking process and rejecting God. Just plain and simple. If more people would get a hold of God and get a hold of this verse, did you know anxiety attacks would go down in our world? I don't need any scientific research to prove it to me. If more people had a sincere relationship with God, there would be less anxiety in across the board. Another commentator said, that is, talking about be careful for nothing, that is, be not anxious or solicitous about the things of the present life. The word here, the Greek word, does not mean that we are to exercise no care about worldly matters. Are you listening? It doesn't mean that we have no care, no responsibility, no care to preserve our property or to provide for our families. You know, there's a balance in not being anxious and having enough awareness that there are needs. There is a balance in that, and there is a God-given balance, and He doesn't want us to be overcharged to the point that a panic attack, or we're on the verge of a panic attack all the time. He wants it. What does it say in 1 Timothy 5 and 8? I want to try to give us a little balance here. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter and the 8th verse, it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. If we are unwilling to take responsibility and be careful, if you will, to be aware of our duties and our obligations, then we're not being a real godly person either. Just like it's not God's plan for us to be so caught up with the distresses and the things that happen that we just can't function. Did you know if you allow yourself to get so anxious, your ability to function in just normal routine things greatly diminishes? Have you ever got really wrought up and worked up about something and then tried to do something simple like maybe comb your hair or brush your teeth or something like that? You're liable to poke yourself in the eye. Just get all nervous and jittery about something and then try to take a pair of scissors and cut something real carefully and see what happens. You'll trim your fingernail when you wasn't supposed to, and you'll just make erratic movements. And it's because anxiety, and you're so anxious about something that you slip and hurt yourself or hurt something else. So there's a balance in all this. Another verse in Luke, the 4th chapter, talks about Jesus used the illustration. He was trying to give direction in how people ought to realize the level of commitment it is to follow the Lord. And let's look in Luke, the 4th chapter, at what Jesus said, beginning in verse 28. He said here, and all they... That's not what I want. Luke 14, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. He says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Did you know that you're going to have to stop and think about what you're doing? You're going to have to make some plans. He says, less happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So we have to be careful. We have to be engaged in our everyday life. If you plan to have something to eat today, then you had to have some kind of plan to be able to eat. I don't know if you put something in the crock pot before you came. I don't know if you made sure that you had enough money to go buy something, or if you put it in the oven, or you've just decided that you're going to go home and eat cold cuts today. I don't know what your plan is, but you made some kind of plan. I'm sure that there's some food in your house, or at least I hope there is. So when he says be careful for nothing, he says this commentator said it doesn't mean that we shouldn't take any care to preserve our property or provide for our families, but that there is to be such confidence in God as to free the mind from anxiety and such a sense of dependence on Him as to keep it calm. So what does that mean? What kind of balance are we trying to find? Another one said, be anxiously careful for nothing. If men are not gentle toward you, if somebody talks bad to you, don't that cause us to feel anxious? If somebody says something negative about you, your family, your spouse, your abilities, your something, it's a personal attack. You know, immediately you start your, somebody might say, well, made my blood pressure go up. Well, it might, but I'm telling you, your anxiety level went up. Your feeling of frustration, your feeling of rejection, all of those things. And you start, the devil will capitalize on it. Well, if they think that about you, guess what so-and-so thinks about you. And if two people think about that about you, I'm sure that there's a whole bunch more. And you go from not knowing, being clueless, to somebody dropping a little hint, and the next thing you know, you're looking at everybody suspicious, like I wonder if they think the same thing. And the next thing you know, you're in such a flutter that you're not even paying attention and you're driving and you run through a stoplight and somebody T-boned you. Well, how did that happen? I've been through this intersection a myriad of times and I was having an anxiety attack and I just had to get home and I didn't see the stop sign. Why? Because you allowed something the enemy caused to come in. And you allowed it just to build and build and build, and then you've done something irrational. So if men are not gentle towards you, yet neither in this or in that part that you feel like you're being attacked, nor on any other account, this is what a commentator said, be careful. Don't be anxious about that. That's what he's saying. But pray. Now this is a standout statement. He said, carefulness and prayer cannot stand together. Are you praying about it or worrying about it? Which one are you doing? You want to have this really working in your life? Let's go back over there to Philippians, the fourth chapter. And what did it say? 4 and 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be careful for nothing. Are you praying about it or are you worrying about it? You need to answer that question. Are you being anxious or are you giving it to God? Think that's easy? It's not. Because as a human, we feel like that we have this sense of urgency that if we're not being careful, if we're not worrying about something, we're not doing anything. And we need to really be able to take the things that cause us, that's designed to make us feel anxious, and we need to learn how to give them to the Lord. He said, be careful for nothing, but that means you're going to do something different. Don't do this, but do this over here. That's what the word but means. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. This commentator said, carefulness, anxiousness, and prayer cannot stand together. That means you've got to do either one or the other. In everything, great and small, let your requests be made known. They who by preposterous shame or distrust, modesty, or distrustful modesty, cover, stifle, or keep in their desires as if they were either too small or too great, must be racked with care, from which they are entirely delivered, who pour them out with a free and filial confidence to God. Now that's a mouthful. So I want to dissect it a little bit more. Carefulness and prayer cannot stand together. In everything, whether it's big or little. You know, we have some little problems that can cause us to be anxious. You ever had some little old bitty thing that you just couldn't leave alone because it just was a nagging little pain or a little thing that you wanted to go away or be different? And then we have those big things and it's like, I can't imagine where this is going to end up. It's much bigger than me, and surely this looks like the ruin of me. You ever had those kind of experiences? My career is over. My life is over. My relationship is over. The world's coming to an end. All of those things, the big things, great or small. It says, let your requests be made known. This is what the commentator said. They who by preposterous shame or distrustful modesty, well, it's so small, I'm not going to bother the Lord with it. I'm going to worry about it. I'm just going to worry and fret and trouble myself to the point that the next time I go to do something, I'm going to make a gross mistake just because I'm anxious. I can't hardly talk anymore. You know, it's just something is distressing me. You know, we can allow that to happen. It can be so little that we think, surely there's no reason for me to bring it to the Lord. Well, I don't need to bother the Lord with this minor little thing. You know, it's just whatever it is. And we cover or we stifle or we keep in our desires, I can do this. It's my job. I got to straighten this out. I got to fix it. And all the time we're getting more and more anxious and distressed. And we feel the panic coming on. You ever felt panicked when you see somebody? We can do it. I don't care how big old boy you are. When there are certain individuals that come into our life and it's like, not today. You know? It all happens to us. And when we are unwilling because we say we don't want to bother God with it, or we think it's something that I got to do myself anyway. The Lord, He don't really care about this part of my life. It's I got to be big enough to take care of whatever it is. You know what happens when we do that? We have a world of it. panic attacks, anxiety attacks, it's all around us. He says here, this commentator says, from which they are entirely delivered, who pour them out with a free and philo confidence. You know what that is? You know what that word philo means? Philo. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. It's pertaining to a son or a daughter becoming a child in relation to his parents. Filial love is such an affection as a child naturally bears to his parents. Filial duty or obedience is such duty or obedience as a child owes to his parents. Do you know, if we will bring our troubles to God, like our children bring their troubles to us, and just leave them. Did you know that's how we can be careful for nothing? I've heard the stories about little children bringing a balloon that's broken to their father and asking daddy to fix it. Why? They think daddies can fix everything. And they just bring it to him with the confidence, daddy, you can fix my balloon. How many times do we as parents pick up our little children that have a distressful situation and we hold them and we soothe them and we point out how life is not going to end right now? And they go away happy and encouraged. And they just totally unloaded all their troubles. They can come and cry and tell us their deepest sorrows. And maybe we can pray with them, and maybe we say an encouraging word, and they can go away happy and smiling. That's being careful for nothing. And how are we supposed to bring our troubles to the Lord? Like that. Lord, we can cry and tell Him, Lord, I'm hurting. Might be in my heart. I'm hurting. It might be physically. I'm hurting because I don't see any future. Everything looks dark and gloomy. And when we bring them to Him and say, here they are. I know you can do it, Lord. I know you can take this. He says, be careful for nothing. Anytime we pick up part of it and take it with us, say, well, I told the Lord, but I'm going to keep worrying because I got to do something. Well, what did the other commentator say? Carefulness and prayer cannot stand together. Let me use the other definition for the Greek word. Anxiety and prayer don't cohabitate long term. We can be anxious, but when we really take it to the Lord in prayer, this is where He wants us to get to. It's hard to get there, but I believe this is where He wants us to get to. It's so easy for us to become anxious, to feel overwhelmed with our troubles. But I really believe He wants us to get to the place that we can bring our troubles and trust Him like we would our parent. Just, here they are, Lord. I don't know what to do. Our message today is about us being in a place where we can truly and actually bring our troubles to the Lord, our burdens, and in prayer, give them to Him and be released from the anxiety. Does it mean that we're oblivious of the situation? No, it don't mean that. It doesn't mean that you have to say, well, the Lord will provide. Maybe I'll open my mouth and something will fall in it. Nope, that's not what I'm talking about here. I believe every one of us have an obligation, and you know me well enough to know that I could talk a long time about whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And that's Bible. It's Bible that we make a plan to provide for our families. It's Bible for homemakers to keep the home. It's Bible for us to, as parents, to teach our children and tell them you can't do this and this is what you have to do. It's Bible, all of that is. It's God's plan. But it's also God's plan, and He has something for us whereby when we become anxious, when things start causing us distress, that we can take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't know how I got here. Well, maybe we know some of the ways we got here, but we don't know how it developed to the point that it is. Have you ever made a small mistake and it got blown out of proportion? I've been there. Some little error, an oversight. You know, if you forget to pay your credit card, they'll charge you interest. That happened to me here a while back. Getting a phone call from somebody. I didn't know who this number was. You know, what kind of society we live in? We don't recognize a number, we don't answer it. You know, after about four times of this number calling, I thought, well, maybe I ought to answer it. And they wanted to know when I was going to pay my bill. Well, I still thought they were trying to scam me. I said, well, what bill are you talking about? And they told me it was one of the credit cards I had. And I said, well, what do you think I bought? And then they told me, well, it was a cabinet at Home Depot. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that's my bill. Well, it's going to cost you not only the price of the cabinet, but you need to pay some more now, too. You know, that bill got tucked back on the backside, and I forgot about it. It kind of out of sight, out of mind. You know, things can get out of proportion. You know, you make a little mistake, and the devil says, boy, you really did it now. You know, everybody in the whole county saw that. Everybody saw you do that, and they all think that you're an ignoramus now. They won't trust you to back up a trailer ever again. Whatever it is, the devil's going to capitalize, and you're thinking, now I don't even have a job. You're feeling all of this anxiety, and it's because of some little something that actually happened. But you know, we can take that to the Lord. That can be a real life situation. We can take it to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't... that was me over there. I did that. You know, I backed over my neighbor's mailbox or whatever it is, but here it is. Lord, can you help me out? And He wants us to be able to go away from that, realizing that we told the Lord. And we can turn loose of our anxiety and say, Lord, whatever I got to do, build a new mailbox. Say, I'm sorry, explain how the dent got in the bumper, or whatever we've got to do, just show me step by step from here. But the anxious feeling, the thing that wants people to go check in with a psychiatrist in the medical profession because their heart's out of rhythm, because they've been thinking about the mistakes they made, the Lord wants to take care of that. And He can and He will. This is why I believe if people would get down to business with God and use the things that He's got in His Scripture, we'd have less ailments in our world today. I believe anxiety and panic attacks they would almost go out of business. All those people that treat that, if we would really get a hold of Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. And we'll read it again. Be careful for nothing, but this is something you got to do. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The thing that we have to do is stop allowing circumstances to elevate our panic and anxiety, and instead of that, take our troubles to the Lord. and be willing to release that sense of responsibility that I got to fix it all myself. Because I can't put generous thoughts in somebody else's mind. I can't put forgiveness in somebody else's heart. I can't put a willingness to cooperate in somebody else's heart. But God can. God changed Pharaoh's heart. God changed other people's hearts. And He can change our co-workers' hearts and our family members' hearts. And He can change those that we live around. He can do something that I can't do. And no, all of my worrying and all of my anxiety can never fix it, but God can. You pray for me. I want to be able to put this to work and not just keep it on the shelf like my skill saw. I want to get it out and use it and make it work for me. You pray for me.